All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, December 3rd of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a 9-game NBA main slate as well as a 5-game NHL slate. And then we do have golf teeing off tomorrow morning. Only 20 golfers in the field. It's going to be a tight one. Going to have to think about duplication. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen, and we will jump into questions that came in prior to the show. I'm going to go ahead and refresh these projections. So we're working with the latest and greatest stuff here. First question of the day. There's probably a video. Oh, this is new. There's probably a video already, but I have starter and noticed when you use the portfolio diversification thing, it gives you a lot of lineups with a super low Saber score. Are those lineups still okay? Because it seems when I get lineups with Saber scores in the high 180s, 200s, I get better results, but it could just be very slate dependent. I don't know. All right, good question. So I think it is okay to set a filter to rule out negative Saber score lineups. I think that's like a totally all right thing to do. Now, the way I would do that, is I would run a build, right? We're just going to run a build here. And we'll let these lineups run. I should have built 500 lineups. Maybe I'll stop it around that mark. That's good. Because this was a starter question. All right, so in this example, we have about 600 lineups. I stopped it a little bit late. That is okay. So let's get into the post build here. All right, so the way you would do this, right, what you're describing here is, and I want to like see the Saber scores, so we're going to switch over. So what I would do is I would go to my pool. I would go to filters. I would go to add new filter. I'm going to call it Saber score. And I'm going to say show lineups with Saber score greater than zero, right? Saber score is effectively the ROI from the simple contest sims. So I do think it makes sense to not play. So this basically cut my pool in half. You know, we went from like 600 something down to 328 here. Right. So I think this is okay. Now you know that any lineup that is remaining here, right? And we can actually see this if I inversely sort by Saber score, is going to have a positive Saber score. And if I look at all the lineups, our lowest Saber score is 0.4. So we've effectively removed the other ones from consideration. They've all gone into the trash. And now I can feel comfortable knowing I'm only playing positive Saber score lineups. So I like this approach. I would recommend it. And all you got to do is set up a filter like so. And then when you, the good thing is that when you rename it, it will carry over to future slates. It won't be on, but it'll be there. And then you can just activate it after the build. And it makes for easy. It makes it easy to reuse again on future slates is basically what I'm getting at. So yeah. Good question. And I would agree with your logic. Mike said, thank you. You're welcome. All right. Next question. How are you doing today? I'm doing great. Is it better to change player projections or player min exposures for adjustments for lineups? Good question. So You know, for me, it's going to depend on kind of two things. Number one is really like your approach and like what your ultimate goal is, right? So if you're like, hey, you know, I think that, and I'm just going to go to projections here. I think Josh Giddey is going to play better than we are expecting. I think he is definitely going to come in over his average projection. And I think that his score is going to be closer to 51 points rather than 48 points, right? If that's kind of the angle you're coming from, right? It is better, in my opinion, to change the projection. You're basically changing the input because you think it should be something else, right? Hey, I think he's going to score 51. Okay, you should tell SaberSim that, right? Now what's going to happen is SaberSim is going to effectively take in your adjustment and say, hey, you know, if Giddey scores 51 instead of 48, what is the right amount of exposure for us to have to him? Now, I've done this, and I've gotten the same exposure. I've gotten more exposure, right? You usually don't get less, but sometimes you get the same, sometimes you get more, right? You know, in the times where you get the same, one, it can kind of suck, right? But I like to think of it as like my goal is to give SaberSim the most accurate inputs, and whatever it returns to me, I'm just going to take it, right? That is one side of the coin. You know, you could take that side, right? You're still leaving the exposure up to SaberSim, okay? The other side is like, hey, I think Giddey's going to have a good game. I'm not sure exactly what he's going to score, but I know that I want him in my lineups because I think he has a lot of upside today, right? And in that scenario, you probably want to use exposures, right? You might even want to bump him a little bit just to tell SaberSim, like, hey, I think he's going to do better than you're expecting. And then also along with that, right, set an exposure. Now, maybe that is you want to at least match the field, right? Like, hey, no matter what, I don't want to be under on him. So I set his minimum exposure about to the same level as his ownership. Maybe I like him so much that I want to be over the field, right? I want to be 2x Giddey. I want to have twice as much as everyone else. So I set his minimum to 16, right? This is a little bit more direct in the sense that, hey, I know I want this guy in my lineups no matter what, so give him to me, right? This is a lot more of like a blunt instrument as opposed to the projection adjustments that would maybe not give you more exposure to him depending on the level of the adjustment and how much SaberSim likes that player to begin with. So you got to figure out what angle you're attacking it from and then pick the option that best kind of suits your strategy. But I think both are viable here. So that's just like kind of a overview on how to think about them. All right, next question. When it comes to NFL main slates, if I wanted to get more exposure to a particular game stack, how high of a percentage exposure would you go on a game stack to get proper leverage? All right. So there's a couple things to consider here, right? Now, the term, you know, proper leverage, you know, there is leverage is subjective, right? And how much you need is subjective. It's up to you, you know, to decide what the, you know, proper amount is, right? Now, I think that if you want to get more exposure to a game stack, there's a couple different ways you could do that. Number one is you can go to the games tab, and then you could just increase the min exposure here, right, to this game stack. I think it's probably beneficial to run a build without an adjustment and just see how much exposure you're getting to that game stack naturally, right? Maybe you are getting 5% game stack exposure. Okay, well, set a minimum of 10, set a minimum of 15 and rerun it, right? You're basically getting a baseline number from SaberSim, and then you're artificially increasing it based on, you know, kind of your own input, but you're using that original number from SaberSim as your starting point, right? That is one way of doing it. Another way of doing it would be to go to the teams tab and boost the projections of the teams, right? Boost the team totals. Maybe I liked the Arizona-Tampa Bay game and I wanted to stack them more. Okay. Well, maybe I go in here and I do a small adjustment to both teams, and I'm going to remove the question here. Maybe I go in and I bump Arizona up from 21 to 23 points. And then maybe I go in and I bump Tampa Bay from 24.9 to 26.9, right? I give them both a 2-point boost. I apply the change. Last thing I need to do is go to the players tab, change the projection source. After I've changed the source, hey, I come in here. The SaberSim baseline was 17.9 for McBride. He's up to 18.74. Brissett came up about a point, a little over a point. Mayfield came up half a point, right? And I could just see all the differences between the two, but I can see that, you know, these players are getting boosted, right? So that's the other way I would consider. So one of those two ways are what I would go with right out of the gate. All right, next question. If you don't know a sport well enough to take like adjust player projections, what would your process look like as far as filling out a classic NBA slate? I'm on an ultimate plan. And then a couple of suggestions here. Ownership sum, geo sim ROI greater than zero, anything else? I think this is in regards to like filters. But yeah, very good question. So if you don't know sport very well, you know, what does your kind of process look like, right? This is exactly why our Saber School content is the way it is now. We used to do sport-specific content. We used to have a video for every new season of NBA, every new season of NFL, every new season of MLB, you know, you name it, right? We have effectively changed to a kind of sport-agnostic process that we are demonstrating often that can be applied to any sport at any time. You know, I think that one great thing about using a tool like SaberSim is that you don't need to be an expert in every sport, because we have data scientists and members on our team who specialize in all these different sports and can do the hard work for you. And that's why we have analysts for NBA, right? Everyone kind of has a certain touch and feel in like different sports and then can provide value in those areas. So ultimately, you do not need to be an expert in every sport that you play. And I think you can follow the outlines given in the Saber system here. And, you know, we have different videos for kind of different people from different starting points. You know, some people are coming from an optimizer. They've used an optimizer before. Some people are hand building, right? Some people have always kind of hand built lineups. Some people have ideas about certain players and then they want to kind of build around them, right? So there's kind of videos for every type of person. I think this, you know, from guesswork to game plan and then like the scale your game or, and then the from optimizer to simulator are all really good videos that I would watch. Your process should feel very similar, I think, across classic slates specifically. And then I think the other really, really important thing is that you should kind of make it a habit to study flashback and really just like iterate on your process every day for daily sports, every week, like for NBA. You know, if I'm playing NBA, before I start working on today's slate, I am spending time in flashback looking at yesterday's slate because the information is still in my head. It's not getting muddied by like, hey, wait, is this a situation from yesterday or a situation from today? And I am looking at my results, comparing them to other users in my contest, comparing them to contests and users in the biggest contests in the lobby, seeing what they're doing, trying to you know, grab some of what they're doing and apply it to my own process and kind of go from there. So you definitely don't need to be an expert. And I would just follow the outlines by Jordan in the Saber system. And that should bring you to a pretty solid place. All right, next question. When do you use correlation in basketball? Because some slates have two, others one, and others neutral. So what determines that? Great question. So the sliders, we're talking about the sliders here, are set based on the number of games on the slate. And that comes from our contest backtesting. So basically, our team backtests different contests of different slate sizes, and then figures out, hey, what sliders perform the best on these different slate sizes. If you look at today, I think it's a 9-game slate. Hey, sliders are on 2-7. Okay, well, what if we look at, instead of a 9-game slate, let's look at a 4-game night slate, right? How do the sliders change from 9 games to 4 games? We go in here and we look at this. So we went from 2-7 to 0-7. So correlation has gone down in this format where we have dropped effectively 5 games. Well, what about a 2-gamer, right? How does a 2-gamer kind of shape up here? And I'm going to use this turbo. We go in and we're on 0-9, right? So here correlation has stayed the same at 0. But sim diversity has gone up, right? We effectively want less games in our sims, right? We want to take smaller buckets of sims every time we build lineups for a 2-gamer to get closer to the optimal lineup, right? So here we've looked at a 9-game, 2-7 sliders, 4-game, 0-7 sliders, and 2-game, 0-9 sliders, right? So we can see the sliders changing based on the number of games on the slate. Again, all from our team's contest backtesting. All right, next question. Can I both boost projection on a game stack and increase minimum exposure? Yeah, you can absolutely do that. If you want to combine increasing team totals with setting a minimum exposure on a game stack, it just makes it more likely that you're going to get what you're looking for. And it also makes sense, right? Like, hey, why am I setting a minimum exposure to this team? Well, I'm not doing it because I think they're going to do bad. You know, I think I'm doing it because I think the game is going to shoot out. I'm hoping it goes over the over-under goes higher, you know, things like that, right? So, yeah, you can absolutely do two things in one. All right. Caught up with questions here. Got a little bit of time. So why don't we knock out a build demo? You know, I know Ozone was kind of asking about classic NBA slate. So good opportunity to build some lineups for a classic NBA slate. We've already kind of built here, so I'm going to kind of walk through this, but it'll save us a little bit of time waiting for the build to finish. So up front, didn't really do anything. Didn't adjust min-max salary, didn't set any filters or rules, left the sliders as is. You know, very, very default. Just made 2 small adjustments to the ownership here. Either one of these columns are fine in order to unlock the build lineups button. So that's great. We built our lineups. We did set Saber score greater than 0 if you're on starter. I think this is a good thing to do. Now, you don't need to do this on Ultimate. You don't need to set an ROI greater than 0 because SaberSim actually does that for you. It will not use negative ROI lineups in your portfolio. I think that's actually kind of a good point here I want to bring up with the team. And it's just a team note to review that because I think that's a good point. But for now, you can set this filter, right? Little Saber score greater than 0 filter. Should get the job done. Now we're in the post build, right? Let's just say we're going to build 20 lineups. I would use portfolio. I don't have an entry file uploaded here, so there's no portfolio to kind of go off of. So I'm just going to use Unique's 1 Saber score, which is totally fine. Now I'm going to come into my player table, sort by exposure here, right? Look, I haven't made any takes. You know, I'm not like handicapping NBA here. I'm not, you know, working in kind of my own ideas and opinions. You know, I'm approaching this right as if like, hey, I'm not super knowledgeable in NBA. I am really just kind of trusting the projections and the system and trying to make good decisions, right? Saver score greater than zero, great thing to do. You can do it no matter how much you know about any one particular team, right? All right, I come in here, I start to analyze my exposures, my leverages. You know, Claxton, a little over 2x exposure. Davis, a little bit over 2x. Bam, about 2x, right? This seems okay. Demin is like 2.5x. You know, Tobias Harris, you know, maybe you could consider capping him, right? We kind of talk about, like, I think especially if you're, like, newer to a sport, maybe don't know that much, maybe you want to be a little bit more careful with your exposures. I have given a general rule of, like, having 2 to 3x exposure compared to a player's ownership is, like, a fine kind of threshold. So here, right, okay, Claxton up to 75% seems good, okay? Demin up to 55% seems good. Tobias Harris, this would be about 40%, would be like 3X here. So I think that's okay. If you want to come in here, set his max to 40, right? Walker, depends if you like round or not. 12 times 3 is 36. 11 times 3 is 33. I think 35 is like fine. But you could be as specific as you want to be. Those are just some general guidelines as well. You know, no like hard and fast rules that you have to follow. Just some ideas. I think it's good to have some of those guidelines, especially if you're newer to a sport. So I made one change here to Tobias Harris. I don't really think I need to make any other ones. All the rest of these look pretty good. We can see our Giddy exposure is up from that adjustment that we made earlier. Kind of forgot about that. But yeah, so now it's just kind of, hey, am I comfortable with the risk I have? Great. Now I'm going to save these, upload them, and then I'm going to be ready for late swap, right? And if you're new to NBA, really, really good resource is the NBA Lineup Alerts channel in Discord. This basically tells you when you need to swap, in my opinion. So if we go back to yesterday, let's go to post-lock. Okay, post-lock, some lineups come out. These lineups came in as expected. No need to swap, right? More lineups come out as expected. No need to swap. Here, we start to see an adjustment. Hey, the Pelicans lineup, they started McGowan's over Looney. And then some projections start to change, right? McGowan's goes up here, goes up a little bit more, goes up a little bit more. So here, yeah, I would absolutely swap because McGowan's has effectively gone from 14 to 21 points. And that's a lot, right? That's a big difference here. So I think that this is definitely swap-worthy news. But all this other news before it, you know, wasn't, in my opinion, right? So I don't think you need to be as concerned in that regard. So those would be my notes here. As far as like late swapping, keep an eye on this channel, look for news, and then swap as needed. All right. Follow up from Jimmy. Just want to clarify, if you have an ultimate portfolio, is it necessary to click on tab ROI greater than zero? How you feel about projection filter? Okay. So Portfolio Plus will not use lineups with a negative ROI. That's why I made that note. I'm like, I feel like SaberScore maybe should do the same thing. So I want our team to review it. But yes, you don't need an ROI greater than zero filter on Ultimate. And how do I feel about a projection filter? I think it's generally fine. I don't like to be super aggressive with it. You know, I think it's okay to get rid of some of the lowest projected lineups. The idea behind that is that these lineups might be good. They might be positive ROI, but that's at this specific ownership, right? If ownership varies, these lineups might be more sensitive to ownership adjustments and could quickly go from positive ROI to negative ROI. So their ROI is a little bit more fragile. So that's for the low projected lineups, right? So getting rid of like the lowest 10% of projected lineups, I think is a safe thing to do. I'm totally okay filtering out 10%, 20%. I really don't like filtering out like 50% or like, you know, getting super, super tight with it. So trimming, I like. Aggressively filtering, I do not like. All right. We are all caught up with questions here. Knocked out an NBA slate demo. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.